Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to my message today on experiencing God in your daily life. Experiencing God in your daily life. And so right now we're in the midst of a teaching series called Experiencing God. And I love this series because we're answering one of life's greatest questions, and that is, what is God's will? What is God's will? And I hope and pray that God's using this time to really give you some confidence in that area. And so what we're going to do today is it's going to be kind of an overview message. We're coming to the final message in this teaching series. And this series is based on what's called the seven realities of experiencing God. And today we're going to be on reality number seven, and I'll say more about that in just a bit. But really what this is today is an overview. It's an overview of the entire time we've spent together in this series. And so I'm excited about sharing this with you. So this series also could be labeled as a series about the life of Moses. It really could, okay? Because so much about this series is about this Bible character named Moses. And so for the most part, we've spent our time in Exodus chapter 3, right? That's the story of the burning bush. And the reason we spent so much time there is because that is kind of the center point of Moses knowing and doing God's will. He had an experience with God at the burning bush. But listen, Moses didn't just have one experience with God. He continued to have experiences with God. And the same is going to be true for you. I mean, you're going to have some milestone times with God, some very special times with God, your so-called burning bush experiences. But, you know, you're not just going to have one, right? You're going to have multiple, and I would say even many great experiences with God. And so what I did was I continued to study the book of Exodus, and I'll be honest with you, I had a hard time deciding which one, which experience to use, because Moses had so many awesome experiences with God. But I ended with the story, the miracle story of the parting of the Red Sea. Do you know that story, the parting of the Red Sea? So here is the context. So Moses has done what God told him to do. He has went to Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh, hey, we're out of here. You know, I'm taking the people out of bondage here in Egypt. I'm taking them to the promised land. And there a lot went on to make that happen, which we haven't talked about pretty much at all in this series. But sure enough, they're on the way to the promised land, but there's a problem. There's an obstacle. It's called the Red Sea. Okay, they got this massive body of water standing between them and where they need to go. And God does an incredible miracle, okay? He literally opens up that sea, and they are allowed to walk through on dry ground. And so today what I want to do is I want us to look at Exodus 14, 13 through 31. So if you follow me very well, you know that's a long section of Scripture for me to use. But I chose it because I want you to see the whole picture here. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the first part and make some comments. And then I found this really cool, dramatic reading of the rest of the passage. And this guy has a much cooler voice than me. That's for sure, okay? But I think the way he reads it, oh, it just makes the whole thing come alive so much. So what I want to do right now is I want to read Exodus 14, and I want to begin in verse 13, and I'm going to read down to verse 18. All right, Exodus 14, 13 through 18. It says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you this day. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever.'" So what's going on here, okay? Basically what's going on is the Egyptians are chasing after the Israelites. I mean, they're coming after them to I don't know if they're going to just try to take them back or kill them or, you know, I don't know for sure, okay, what was going to happen. But I know this, it wasn't good. There was nothing good about it. And they became afraid. They became fearful because here they are up against the sea and the enemy is coming towards them, all right? And so Moses says to them, hey, don't be afraid, stand still. And I love this statement, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. And the Egyptians whom you see today, hey, you're not going to see them again. And then it goes on in verse 14, for the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then, listen to this, then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. So God said to Moses, Moses, hey, listen, why are you crying out? Here's what you got to do, okay? Take that rod. Remember the rod God gave him? He said, you know, when Moses said, you know, they're not going to believe, you know, I'm from you, and, you know, they're not going to have any trust in me, and he gave him that rod. Remember, he told him to throw the rod down, and it turned into a serpent. God told him to pick up the serpent, and it turned back into the rod, okay? And it was like a symbol of God's power and God's anointing on Moses. And so God told him, take that rod and stretch it out, and that sea is going to open up. Wow. Well, it did open up. And so right now I want you to listen to this dramatic reading of Exodus 14, 19 through 31. Exodus 14, 19 through 31. And then I'll be right back with you.
Crossing the Red Sea. All this time, God's angel had gone ahead of Israel's army, but now he moved behind them. A large cloud had also gone ahead of them, but now it moved between the Egyptians and the Israelites. The cloud gave light to the Israelites, but it made it dark for the Egyptians, and during the night they could not come any closer. Moses stretched his arm over the sea, and the Lord sent a strong east wind that blew all night, until there was dry land where the water had been. The sea opened up, and the Israelites walked through on dry land with a wall of water on each side. The Egyptian chariots and cavalry went after them, but before daylight the Lord looked down at the Egyptian army from the fiery cloud and made them panic. Their chariot wheels got stuck, and it was hard for them to move. So the Egyptians said to one another, "Let's leave these people alone. The Lord is on their side and is fighting against us." The Lord told Moses, "Stretch your arm towards the sea. The water will cover the Egyptians and their cavalry and chariots." Moses stretched out his arm, and at daybreak the water rushed towards the Egyptians. They tried to run away, but the Lord drowned them in the sea. The water came and covered the chariots, the cavalry, and the whole Egyptian army that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them was left alive. But the sea had made a wall of water on each side of the Israelites, so they walked through on dry land. On that day, when the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the shore, they knew that the Lord had saved them. Because of the mighty power he had used against the Egyptians, the Israelites worshipped him and trusted him and his servant Moses.
All right, well, I don't know about you, but I enjoyed that, okay? And so listen, don't be comparing my voice to his voice, all right? He's got a much cooler voice, all right? But I'll use mine the best I can to share with you today from God's Holy Word. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to experience God in your daily life. How to experience God in your daily life. And this is based on these seven realities for experiencing God. Now, I must tell you again, I hope I've said this every time, that I didn't make this up. All right, I'm not the original source of what we're looking at here. You see this diagram up on the screen there? Look at it closely, okay? This was created by a guy named Henry Blackaby. Henry Blackaby. And he actually wrote a book called Experiencing God. And millions and millions of people have purchased that book. It's been translated in many different languages. I mean, God has used it in an incredible fashion. It's very obvious to me that God wanted to get that message, this message we're talking about here, out to the masses, all right? And so basically this diagram shows the seven realities. Now, today we're going to be looking at reality number seven. That's the final one. And you see the little shading there where it says obey and experience. Obey and experience. So what it's saying there is like your ultimate experience with God is when you know, and here's the main thing, do His will. Do His will. I mean, it's wonderful to experience God by knowing what He wants you to do. But, you know, if you don't go out and do it, your experience with God is going to be very, very limited, all right? The real experience with God is when you step forward and you do what He's telling you to do. So this is number seven. I like to read it to you. Experiencing God, reality number seven. Listen to what it says. You come to know God by experience as you obey Him and He accomplishes His work through you. Let me read that again. You come to know God by experience as you obey Him, and He accomplishes His work through you. So again, kind of like the strongest spirit of God's presence in your life is going to be when you do the will of God, all right? When you obey, when you step out there and obey. And when you think about it, listen, to know God is to trust God. And to trust God is to obey God. I want you to think about that. Think about the fact that, you know, to really know God is to trust God with your life. And to trust God with your life is to do what He tells you to do. So with that in mind, what we're going to do now, as I said earlier, is we're going to do an overview. And I'm excited about this overview because, number one, you know, they say that repetition is the mother of all learning. Have you ever heard that? And, you know, I like to think about it like vision kind of leaks out of people, you know. And one of the jobs I have as a leader and a pastor is to try to keep the vision alive because, I mean, it leaks out of me too, okay? And truly, the reality is, I mean, we've been doing this for 2 months, all right? And so it's easy for us to have kind of forgotten a lot, right? Number two, I know that some of you, I would say almost everybody here probably missed at least one message, right? I mean, let's be real, all right? And then some of you, hey, praise God. Some of you, this is your first sermon in the series. So bottom line is, we all need this. We all need this review, all right? So let's dive in and let's talk about how to experience God in your daily life. And the key word for each one is the word continue. Continue. So what we're talking about really is an experiencing God lifestyle, all right, where we continue to live out these realities. All right, so let's go. Number one, continue to discover where God is working around you. Continue to discover where God is working around you. Now, this is so important, and I think it's fair to say I've repeated this one the most, because if you don't get this one, you don't get any of them, all right? Because this has everything to do with how you view God, all right? So here it is in a nutshell, experiencing God reality number one. God is always at work around you. So what we're talking about here is we're talking about how you view God. And really what it's saying is you got to believe that God is an active God. You got to believe that God is, you know, all-knowing. He's all-powerful. I mean, you got to believe, okay, in the person of God and how that he is always working around you. And we see this in the life of Moses in Exodus 2:24. And so what I'm doing is I'm going back and I'm reviewing what I picked as what we call the key verse. Every week I have a key verse. And so this was the key verse for that week. It says, "So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." Now, this precedes chapter 3 of Exodus. So pretty much most of everything else is in chapter 3 because that is where Moses had the burning bush experience. But I picked this because what it shows is, although Moses wasn't aware, that God was working around him. And what I mean by that is, in Exodus 2, it tells us the children of Israel are in bondage. They're suffering, and they're crying out to God. And they're saying, "God, free us. Get us out of this bondage," all right? And you know what? God was working. The word says, God heard their cry. And at the same time, you know what God was doing? God was preparing who was going to make that happen. And it was Moses. It was Moses. In fact, Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to do, to will and to do of his good pleasure." It's God that's working in us, ladies and gentlemen. And he is doing his will, okay? He is doing what pleases him. So number one, continue to discover where God is working around you. Just think about it today. Wonder where God's working around you. And just keep this in mind. You may not know today. There might be things going on right now. I'm sure there are. Things you don't even know about today. But hey, you come to Thursday, God's going to show it to you or whatever. But he's setting it up right now. That's God. Number two, continue to deepen your relationship with God. Continue to deepen your relationship with God. Folks, it's all about relationship. Knowing and doing God's will, I mean, the main thing is about relationship. And it's about deepening that relationship. Experiencing God reality number two. Here, listen, God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. And I just love that, okay? God wants to have a love relationship with you. And it's a relationship that's real and it's personal. It's about relationship. If you're going to know and do God's will, you got to have a love relationship with him. And again, this was this was another hard one. Like, which verse am I going to use? Because there are so many that really make this come alive in the example of Moses. But I landed on Exodus 33:17, and here it is. "So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.'" And the reason I ended up picking that verse was that last statement. God told Moses, "I know you by name." Amen. I mean, again, it's real and it's personal. He knows you by name. James 4:8a says, "Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you." Number three, continue to accept God's invitation. You see, God is going to invite you to join him in his work. And that's reality number three. God invites you to become involved with him in his work. So God's working around you. You have that deep relationship with him. And what God is going to do is he's going to say, "I would like for you to join me in my work. I invite you to join me in my work." Again, experiencing God, reality number three, God invites you to become involved with him in his work. And this happened for Moses in particular in Exodus 3:10. And not only is that the key verse for that particular point or reality, this was the key verse for the whole series, all right? And it's Exodus 3:10 where it says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Let me read that again because it's so important. "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So now God, here's Moses, and he's over there. He's a shepherd. He's taking care of animals. He's spending probably most of his time, he's probably pretty much alone, right? And now God says, "Hey, come. I want done with your animals. Okay, you're on to people now. Okay, you're done being by yourself. You're going to have lots of people in your life." And he invites him to come. And I love John 14:21. It says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And in my notes, I actually have written to the left the word intimacy, because that's what I see in that verse. It's that intimate relationship with him where we keep his commandments. Again, listen, to know God is to trust God. To trust God is to obey God. And so accept, okay, you know, when you get invitations, you know, there's one form of invitation where you get a RSVP, right? And you know, they want to know, are you coming or not? Okay, are you in or you out, all right? And God says, "Hey, RSVP me," and RSVP, "Yes, I'll do what you tell me to do." And then number four, continue to listen when God speaks. Continue to listen when God speaks. See, God is going to speak to you. And in this reality, number four is this. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. And that's a long one, isn't it? Okay. And we had a great sermon given by actually someone who was personally mentored by Henry Blackie himself. He did the sermon on this, all right? But the idea here, first of all, is that God speaks. And God speaks through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses specific things like the Bible. That's number one, by the way. He uses prayer. He uses circumstances. He uses the church. And just talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, all right? Because this is so important for the age in which we live, all right? And so as Jesus was starting to think about the transition he was going to make, so he came to this earth, he took on flesh, we call it the incarnation. He lived a perfect, sinless life, never sinned one time, and he died on the cross for our sin, as a substitute for our sin. He was buried and he rose again. Praise God. He rose again from the grave. And he's going to do this, all right? But then eventually, the Bible says he's going to ascend. He ascended up into heaven. But before he ascended up, he said, "Listen, I'm going up, but hey, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, okay? The Holy Trinity, God in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit." And here's what Jesus said as he's explaining the role of the Holy Spirit. He says in John 14:16-17, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." I've been your helper, but he's going to give you another helper. Again, capital H, because the Holy Spirit is God. "That he may abide with you forever." All right, and that's important because in the Old Testament, there was the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit would only come and do like special acts, if you will. In other words, the Holy Spirit would do something and then leave, all right? But not in the New Testament, all right? The Bible says we have the Holy Spirit in us and our bodies are what? His temple. And it goes on to say, describing the Holy Spirit, verse 17, the Spirit of what? Truth. The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal truth. And the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, okay? The world knows nothing about the Holy Spirit, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, again, capital H, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And then one more, John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he, capital H, will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So the key phrase there is he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is our guide. And the number one thing he uses is the Bible. All right? Because God's will and God's word are one and the same. And God's will and God's word are one and the same. So God guides us through his word, but he also uses prayer. As we pray and we talk to God, God can use circumstances and God can indeed use the church. And then as we come towards the end here, number five, continue to navigate your crises of belief. Continue to navigate your crises of belief. So what's going to happen is sometimes, in fact, most of the time, if not all the time, God's going to, he's going to show you his will, and it's going to stretch your faith, all right? It's going to be something that's stretching. And what happens is we have a crisis of whether we're going to believe God. And that's experiencing God reality number five. God's invitation for you to work with him always lead you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. Again, God is going to stretch you. And he came in Exodus 3:11, and it says that Moses had a crisis of belief. Moses said to God, "Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I that I should go? That me, Lord, me, that I should go to Pharaoh? And that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt." Moses had a crisis of belief. He says, "God, don't you understand? You've chosen the wrong person, okay? I am not your person. Who am I to do that?" But God knew what he was doing, okay? And God knew who he chose, right? And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe, number one, that he is, and number two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And then number six, continue to adjust to God's will. So when God calls you and to do his will, sometimes, like most of the time, you have to make some kind of adjustment, right? It might be kind of a minor adjustment. It might be a medium adjustment. It might be a really big adjustment, all right? But the point is, you gotta adjust. You gotta now change course. And that leads us to experiencing God reality number seven. You must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what he is doing. You have to be willing to make the adjustments that God is telling you to do. For example, Moses, oh my goodness, he had to make such a big adjustment. And God won't always require that out of you, all right? As you're in the Word, he might show you something that you need to work on, okay? That you need to make an adjustment, you know? And it might be kind of an easier adjustment, or sometimes it could be just so huge. For Moses, it was huge because it says in Exodus 4:2, "Then Moses took his wife and his sons. He set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand." He had to take his wife, and she was near her father, her daddy, and his sons, okay? And he put them on a donkey, and he says, "Let's go. We're out of here, okay? We're going to Egypt. We're going to do God's will." And how was he able to do that? Because of Galatians 2:20. This is what Moses did. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, listen, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, the word obedience, have you ever noticed the word obedience in the middle is the word die? Die. That's important to note. Because when you obey God, what you do is you die to self. You die to your will to do His will. And so that's exactly what Moses did. That's what we have to do to adjust to God's will. Listen, experiencing God, it's about your daily life. In fact, as I've gone through this, I've come to the conclusion it's a lifestyle. It really is. These seven realities are a lifestyle. So as we close today, and boy, oh boy, have I enjoyed preparing and presenting these messages. It's been so, such a blessing, all right? But I want to close with what I call the revival question, because I want to remind you the big over you reason for experiencing God is revival. I'm sensing God is saying, hey, it's a season of revival in your life, Steve Reynolds. It's a season of revival at Capitol, Steve Reynolds. And so God gave me what I call the revival question. And I've been encouraging you to ask this question on a regular basis. I want to close with it. Is there something in your life? Is there something in your life that you know God is asking you to do, but you are not doing it? There it is. Is there something? And you know what revival is? You're saying yes. Will you say yes? Will you do it? And I'm telling you, if all of us that make up what's called Capitol Baptist Church, and there are many of us, if all of us did just that, I'm telling you, we'd have revival, okay? We'd have revival. So let's do it, okay? Let's do it. Listen, make it your life goal to always know and do God's will.